Welcome back to Blank Canvas. I'm Diana Sands, and I am with Miss Bodine Victoria. And she is just updating us with all the great things that she's been up to. The music is phenomenal. And in case you don't know, you can get her music in the Apple or Play Store, guys. I was showing her my collection, you know, because every now and then when we jam in, I have to send us, like, you know, a little video and say, listen, keep it coming. So we have to get back to this. Mm-hmm. You know, you talk about, you know, a bit of your work ethic. You haven't go into Freeport and, you know, you're trying to put in that work in a day and how organic a lot of your songwriting process is. When was it? I think you need to tell us. At what point did you know this was something you had to do?
Listen, sometimes writing a song can take anywhere between 15 minutes and 2 years. Mm-hmm. For example, Sugar and a Plum, it took me 2 years. It had like four different versions before Rick and I settled on Sugar and a Plum. And I kept bouncing it back and forth. Sometimes you have to rewrite it. And then other times you have like those sparks of lightning that hit you mm-hmm. in that moment based on something that inspires you or something that just comes out of the blue. I don't write to instrumentals. I write literally out of melodies that fall from heaven. Okay? So I'd be there and I would think of something and then I'd be like, how do I want to say this? And then, bing, light goes off and the little angel sits on my shoulder and I have a whole writing process. So it's continuous. And my work ethic is based on what I know my purpose is. I think a lot of times we go into spaces and we say, you know, I want to do this and I want to do that and I want to do the next thing. My purpose is more along the lines of facilitating opportunities for young Bahamians in the arts to get funding, to be seen, to be heard, and to create. That is my ultimate purpose. I've known that for, I think, since I've been a teenager. However I get it done, that's not the point. The point is to do the work and put myself in a position where people can see the work is being done and that my character speaks for me, that my work ethic speaks for me, and that I'm objective enough so that there are few questions that can be asked about what my intentions are when it comes down to the opportunities that are presented to other young people. So I do not want to be this person that is an icon for the sake of being an icon. I want to be a person that is a legend, and I want my legacy to be the opportunities that I'm able to facilitate for young Orange Economy members. And the mentorship as well as the ability to kind of push them in the right direction. So I said all of that to say, that's the purpose. That's what drives me. It ain't just me. There's a song in my line called Push. In the end, all that matters is I leave nothing for the grave to prize. And I end that verse with, I realize my life isn't all about me. Yes, I'm going to push so that I can put myself in these places. But I'm putting myself in these places so I can get the opportunities and the experience. And then I can guide other people into these spaces that will help them to reach their potential, these spaces that were not available to me when I was younger.
Well, that's what we spoke about just a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. You know, the concept that society has evolved to really focus on the me, the singular, mm-hmm. and not necessarily the community mm-hmm. Element or the care, and to provide, it's like we are now moving in a direction of being takers. So it's refreshing to hear, you know, the traditional, you know, the old school way of thinking of the collective.
Yeah. The thing is, as I learn more about culture, as I have the opportunity to sit with like a Veronica Bishop, if you see me and Veronica Bishop on a show, I want you to know if there's a car, I got to drive her places. And I feel like we've lost this space where we sit at the feet of our elders and we listen, as opposed to listen to challenge. And so I get put in positions where I'm able to listen. And I can take what I need and I can leave what does not serve me or what may not serve me in this moment. Or I could just bookmark it because it may be of value to somebody else and to collaborate with them. So when I sign and I have to say thank you so much to Dr. Nyambi Campbell Hall. I think I hope I call her name, because I think I saw this and in the back of my head I appropriated it from her. So girl, thank you. She has a tagline in culture, community, and connection. And I adopted that for my brand as in culture and community.
Well, she certainly has lived it. We would have, the NAGB, mm-hmm. being we, would have worked with her during our We Got You campaign after Hurricane Dorian. Mm-hmm. And she was truly selfless and truly, in many ways, her talent, her gift of, you know, mental health mm-hmm. and care and for the collective.
And
for the
education.
And education, absolutely. She is certainly a talent.
She most certainly is. And so, again, I try to make sure that when I'm inspired by something or someone, I give them their credit. I don't want to erase people's contributions. And I also want to ensure that people know that, yes, we are in a place where you can say what you want to say and you can do what you want to do, but you have a responsibility to be respectful to others and their contributions and their lived experiences. And of course, while you may not be able to relate in that moment, you should just be in a place to empathize with them, and also to bridge. And that's what I want to be. I want to be a bridge for that baby boomer generation, for that Generation X, for that millennial, into that Generation Y and that Xennial kind of space. And mm-hmm. so I will never actively try to stop somebody from reaching their full potential. But at the same time, I want you to know, the Lord have it so that if I need to not touch something because you ain't ready for it yet, I will not touch it because you are not ready for it yet. I will not allow you to move forward if I know that there's a lesson that you need to learn about how things should be done. And I think that that's something that we also forget. So that's in full transparency. If I feel that me recommending you for something is going to give you an opportunity that you're not ready for yet, I am not going to advance you if I have the opportunity to. I'm literally going to hold you, just, listen, you need a little bit more preparation. Some people will get mad at that, but the truth of the matter is sometimes, you know, we push people to things before they are ready, and that's a lesson I had to learn.
Maybe you can tell us about that. I mean, maybe in the sense that, because as a performer, you know how our people go, how we go sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, you're just starting out. People, they don't really know your music just yet.
Yeah.
You go in on stage. Maybe you can look back and talk about maybe how you navigated, you know, starting to build your performance, you know, because we are a very interesting group of people. I've been to concerts.
Oh yeah.
And you know, if they don't know what's happening, they ain't feeling you, you know.
So I have a cheat code. I'm also a host. Mm-hmm. So as a host, you learn to read the crowd, you learn to scan the energy in the room, and you adjust. So that's number one. That's my cheat code, okay? When I first started out, oh my gosh, it was strange. Sometimes, you know, my producers would say, or my management would say, hey, you need to sing some covers just to get the people with you. And I hated it, and so I stopped doing it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, I produce this music, and it's take us money to make this music, so we can sing this music. And let me tell you, I will sing that song. I will pull that up. I will repeat it until everybody starts singing, or until people, because sometimes you have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I also had to learn that the engagement with the crowd is what matters. So mm-hmm. you can't expect to get paid for every single show, especially as a brand new artist.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how it works. The art of stagecraft means that you're going to have to adjust to a number of smaller venues, smaller crowds, smaller audiences, different audiences, and learn to read them and learn how to interact with them. Learn when you need to sing with a track. Know which shows you cannot take a check for because that's not your crowd and your audience.
Mm-hmm.
You have to run your stage craft and the pre-production like a business. Believe it or not, you have to do your market research. Would you go in to sing at a venue that you wouldn't sit in and you wouldn't eat in, you wouldn't play in, you wouldn't go to a concert to? Because that should be a consideration for whether or not you take a show.
Mm-hmm.
Some people in your audience know who your audience is. And then on top of that, how versatile is your music?
Mm-hmm.
If you're singing reggae music, then you know, chances are you'd be a reggae person. But also, I wouldn't expect to be put on a Reagan Scrape show as a reggae artist, because that ain't the stage, that ain't the crowd. Mm-hmm. And I would even say that even performing some of the music that I did at Bahamas Carnival, I can't do that at a Reagan Scrape festival in Cat Island. Mm-hmm. I can't do that. I had to go back to music that was in the Creative Commons, you know, Big Bamboo, and, you know, those Calypsonian kind of things. And then I had to rake and scrape them out, mm-hmm. and then use some of my music and make sure that the band rake and scrapes them out so people could get an appreciation for it. So I had to make sure that my music was very versatile as well. And so in saying that, sometimes you're not going to be ready for those stages because you haven't done your market research. And if people say, no, I can't put you on the stage, if the promoter says, no, your song hot, but I can't put you on the stage, mm-hmm. then what you need to do is you need to find smaller stages. You need to build a demand for your product and service. And then you need to continue to practice, and you need to maintain a good branding identity, your social media presence, and your collaborations with others. And for me, there's that. I think that I've done so well with the way that I brand myself and I brand my music that the opportunities that are coming to me are not necessarily in the music field, but they're music adjacent, and they're in spaces that creatives need to be in so that we can see how the business works. So I do my market research. I write out my plans. I hire people in the orange economy. I make sure that when I say they can get a payment, they can get a payment. And if I can't make that payment in that time, I communicate that to them clearly. And I try to interact with corporate Bahamas and people that I've built relationships with in a way that is respectful but still firm. And I've seen that that respect is returned to me. And I collaborate and I offer myself in places where I need to learn, sometimes even without pay, because I am not above that, although please pay me, because I pay other people. The point is, my work ethic is so that my community can benefit from it. My work ethic is so that the team that I have around me continues to build and inspire other people. My stylist, Kiwanya Benaby, is a regionally accredited stylist who styles for me, and she gets the brand, she gets the identity. From the way that I branded when I came back out as the Coconut Goddess, and, you know, as Titta, the auntie, the storyteller, the matriarch, who don't have no physical children, but I have other children.
You're not auntie.
We're auntie, right. I have people coming to me with collaborations. There's a Afrobeat collaboration. That it's not Bahamian, but it's Afrobeat, that is from Burkina Faso. In Africa.
How do you come about something like that? How does an opportunity like that present itself to you?
Funny story. I had to pay for my ticket to go to South Carolina Carnival a few years back. My manager was Katara Phelps at that time. And I had no bunch of money with me, but I went there and I performed. And I opened for Patrice Roberts at South Carolina Carnival. They had a street festival. I met another artist from South Carolina who is called Sunshine P. Sunshine and I built a good rapport. Mm-hmm. And the impression that you leave on people is indelible. South Carolina Carnival is waiting for me to come back next year. I could be there. Make no mistake. Because I had them rocking my cherry good feelings all day, all night in that square. They never hear my songs before. And so she messaged me and she told me that she wanted to put me on to Calypso Dawn, who's from Trinidad and who's living in the United Kingdom, because this producer out of Burkina Faso, SB1, wants to do this collaboration called the Uber Love Rhythm. And I said, sure, fine. Remember, I started out in reggae. I started out in hip hop. And then Sugar and a Plum is hip hop meets Afrobeat meets Junkanoo. Bam!
I felt that.
Yes, it's a vibe. So, you know, we've been back and forth. I wrote the song 4 times. Mm-hmm. And we finally got it done. And that rhythm is actually out by the time that this interview is published. So it's out now. And I'm just saying, these opportunities, you know, some of us to turn our nose up and say, oh, well, if I have to pay for it myself, I ain't going. No, go.
Yeah.
You never know. And so that's another market. My branding images are so that I could get to the Geechee people.
Right.
It's so that I can get to the African people, the African diaspora, the African continent, the Caribbean continent. Caribbean region.
But I mean, it's such a powerful and such a large group of people. So you're not limiting yourself.
No.
And so to open yourself to opportunities, you know, you shouldn't put, you shouldn't limit yourself based on maybe, you know, maybe I'm not being paid for this or not.
Yeah.
But we will take a quick break and return with more with Miss Bodine Victoria. And don't forget that the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas has a beautiful campus that is available for rental events. You can view available options by visiting our website or in person on West and West Hill Street. Or our domain is www.nagb.org.bs. Operating hours are Tuesday to Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sundays, 12 noon to 5 p.m. Closed Mondays and holidays. We'll be right back in a few minutes.